Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our multi-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, here with my co-host, Mary Richards. Mary, hello.
Hello, Susan. I didn't realize I was co-host. I have just been promoted. Thank you very much. And we are joined by four people who have had poetry published in the magazine that is the title of this program. Do you want to?
You mean Lyrical Iowa?
There you go.
But I'll bet some people are hearing your voice and knowing that you usually on another program, a regular program, Community Bookshelf.
Yes, Community Bookshelf is a program that I produce along with Janet Kloss and now Mary Howard. We are a triumvirate producing Community Bookshelf.
A triumvirate or a
yes.
tri...
Well, that's what I call it anyway.
And?
Oh, and we are being joined by some other people as well who you will be hearing from shortly. We have some people who are grade school age who were published in Lyrical Iowa in that section of the submissions from here in Ames. And so Susan will be interviewing them as well.
This is our membership drive, and we do lots of special programs to showcase our station and the communities we serve. And they're mostly live programs, so you get a little of the feeling of the excitement of live radio when we don't quite have everything going as planned. And we hope that you listeners can catch the spirit and decide to become members, because that's what this membership week is about.
And the basic membership is $55, but of course we would be delighted to, if you're a grade schooler, we, you know, certainly accept what your allowance is. But you're certainly not limited to $55. We would be happy to take a donation of any amount over that as well. And one of the special things that's happening this pledge drive is we have a match campaign. Is that correct, Susan?
Yes, a matching grant of $25,000. And, of course, the only way to get that is to have $25,000 of memberships of various kinds. And
so we hope that your money will be part of that. Think of it this way. When you give a dollar, you're actually giving $2 because of that match money. So
that's right. And incidentally, that $55 basic membership is 15 cents a day. At least I haven't done the math, but somebody else.
Somebody else did.
Yes. There are many ways to contribute. You can come by our studio at 410 Douglas and drop off a check. And if you know us, why, we'll be greeting you. And if you haven't met us before, why, we'll hope we can get to know you. And, of course, you can put a check in the mail to 410 Douglas, 50010, or call in a pledge at our number, 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or go to our website, khoifm.org, and go to the donate button.
Well, it's time to introduce all our guests here today. All of these people, as we said before, have had poems published in Lyrical Iowa for 2016. Is that correct? Am I right? So and we'll be asking them to read their poems or a similar poem so that you'll get a flavor of the kinds of things they do. And all of the people that who I'm going to introduce are also members of a Third Stanza. And I'm going to ask, first person I'll introduce is Maggie Westfold. Maggie, I'm going to ask you to tell the people about Third Stanza, what that is.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Third Stanza is a society of Ames poets. We've been together for for, I'm going to guess, between 15 and 20 years. We can never nail down the date. Some of us are older and our memories are starting to go. It's a working writers group, almost always poetry, a little bit of memoir or narrative. We meet at the public library the third Wednesday of every month, 6 o'clock. Anyone is welcome to come and to come join us. We are gentle with our comments and critiquing. You don't have to be critiqued. You may just share. Some of us do that quite often, actually. Someone else's poetry. And we are. It was a spinoff of an Ames High night school class, a poetry class taught by a master's student from Iowa State that went on for many years. And this group is a spinoff when that opportunity came to an end. So
well,
that's how we started.
That's great. And we've, we have a long-lived institution of creativity here. Mm-hmm. Our other people who are here today from Third Stanza are Jean Dow. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
A little closer there.
Okay.
Jean, do you specialize in any particular poetry form?
No. No, I would say it's free form.
Okay.
But I have written a number of haiku, and they get published, but then I quit that and do something else.
Okay, we'll hear something later then. And our next person is Deb Lewis. Deb, do you want to introduce yourself by saying what you do as a day job?
I am the curator of the Ada Hayden Herbarium at Iowa State University. So I am a botanist.
And does that influence the kind of poetry you write?
It certainly does. I use poetry in one sense to kind of escape the constraints of scientific writing, but I find myself in another way actually falling into form-type poetry like haiku, where unless it's free-range haiku, it is made up of 17 syllables.
Okay, and the last person from Third Stanza that I'm going to introduce is Anne, please correct me if this is wrong, and I'm sure it probably is. Anne Hudalainen.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that correct? Okay. And Anne, tell the audience where you're from and how you happened to get involved in Third Stanza.
Well, my husband and I, we moved 4 years ago from Russia, and we are enjoying Ames and all the community. And I always liked poetry, and I was delighted to find out that there is a group here. You can just, you know, come and share your poems. And I was very shy at first, but then, as Maggie said, they were really gentle, so that's why it also encouraged me to write more.
And we are. It's time for us now to introduce the students that I mentioned earlier. Two students from Mark Royer's third grade class at Edwards School are the people who are with us today who won awards. And I did not check last names. It's Chantal. It's either Eulenstein or Eulenstein, depending on whether we're pronouncing it German or English. Okay, Chantal, come up here and just say right into the microphone how you pronounce the name.
Chantal Eulenstein.
Okay, I was sort of close, but not very.
And there's another student who walked in while we were...
All right, and the other student who is going to be here is, and Mark, I'll ask you if this is the correct pronunciation. It's Alyssa Graw. Is that correct? I was just asking you if that's the right way to pronounce it. Okay. Okay, she is just coming here. So we will back and fill while she comes in. Before each of these poets reads anything to you, we're going to hear from Dennis Malsby, who is one of the driving forces behind Third Stanza. has been for a long time and is also a poet and author that has published just a lot recently. And we've had him on a whole hour-long program quite recently, I think.
I'm not sure, but we do have a long.
So we're going to hear from him part of the interview with him.
When he's talking about local poetry. Now, we have a new guest who just came in while you were talking to the others, and Madeline Wade. Mm-hmm. And
okay, Madeline Wade, good. Okay, Madeline, do you just want to say hi into the microphone?
Hello.
Thank you. All right, so our intrepid engineer is going to put on a clip from Dennis Molesby.
My guest is Dennis Molesby, who's a member of Third Stanza, a group of poetry lovers and poetry writers in Ames. And he has come in today to share with us the news about the latest edition of the annual Iowa Poetry Association's contest. They put out a journal after this contest called Lyrical Iowa. He has a copy of it with him. And he himself did very well in this contest, I believe. That's right.
Yes,
Dennis?
I was lucky this year. I won a first place in the haiku division.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to hearing that haiku in a minute. Why don't you tell us about some of the other divisions, first of all?
Yeah, the Lyrical Iowa is the annual anthology that Iowa Poetry Association puts out. And the IPA, the Iowa Poetry Association, has been around for a very long time, as you might suspect, you know, given Iowa's high literacy rate and appreciation for poetry. But they started in the 40s, and now this edition of Lyrical Iowa is the 71st annual edition. And this year they received 2,150 entries into their contest. And only 351 out of that, out of those 2,150, made it into the book. And out of those, there were several categories. There was a general category. There was humorous verse, sonnets, national world events, and haiku, and poems for children. And those were for the adults. Mm-hmm. And then there were student entries from college, high school, also 5th through 8th grade, and K mm-hmm. through 4. And Ames did very well. Out of 351 entries people from Ames, there were 22 people that made it into the book. Four of those won awards, and the remainder made it into the book without award, but were published. So,
That's very good. So the larger number, what was it,
351.
So that's the number of poems that are published in
right.
Lyrical Iowa. And out of those, 21, you said, are from
22 made it in, and four of the Ames entries actually won awards. Besides the award I received, the National World Events, there was an honorable mention for Kathleen Russell of Ames. And then there were two students that received awards. There was Chantal Uhlenstein from Edwards Elementary in third grade. She won a third place award in the K through 4 category. And also Lisa Graw won a third honorable mention, who's also from Edwards Elementary. So in the student side, the teacher has to send in, submit the poems.
Mm-hmm.
So or their teacher at the third grade in Edwards is doing a good job with poetry.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and you've been listening to Dennis Molesby from the poets group Third Stanza. We'll soon be hearing from a few of those whose poetry was chosen for the 2016 edition of Lyrical Iowa. This is one of those special programs that Local Talk can bring you because we're local. Dennis mentioned the third grade teacher, Mark Royer, who's, I believe all of these students were his students, but I'd like to read an email that he sent me this morning. I am so excited you were promoting this opportunity for the girls. My daughter, Maggie, appeared on one of your radio shows a few years back when she won a national gold medal in the Scholastic Arts and Writing Contest. She's been a bit of an inspiration for me because of her poetry, so I'm always very eager to promote such a wonderful form of self-expression to my students. And maybe that explains why every one of the students that we have here was Mr. Royer's student in the third grade at Edwards. Mary, can you say a little bit about why we are doing these shows this week?
Well, yes. You're hearing all of this wonderful, original, on-air interviewing this week and next week because this is our fall fun drive. This is what keeps these programs coming to you, whether you ordinarily hear them recorded or whether you hear them live. So we're trying to make this a very special event for you so you will be especially eager to help support this station and keep this kind of programming on the air. We'd like you to become a member if you are not already a member. Basic membership is $55. And we have a special deal this fall membership drive because we have some people who have very kindly offered a $25,000 match. So every dollar that we bring in, up to $25,000, will get matched. And we're really eager to achieve that goal. So you can call us at 515-292-2878, and there will be somebody there happy to take your call and receive your donation. That's 515-292-2878. Or you can stop in to see us and watch us at work at 410 Douglas, right across from the Octagon in downtown Ames. Or you can always go to our website and push the donate button. And I think we need to talk to our poets now, and we need to talk to the one who was introduced last, actually, because she needs to leave. So, but do you want to do that, or do you
know
me?
No, you know her, and I think it would be wonderful if you would do it.
All right. Well, Anne, in the introduction, you said you've always liked poetry.
This is true.
And you grew up in Russia, so did you particularly read Russian poets that we would be familiar with?
Well, of course, living in Russia, you can't not to read poetry because, you know, we have a treasure of poets and they're world famous. So, of course, do you want it or not, you will absorb all of it. So, yes, I would say so. But here is the place where I actually started to write. So, I suppose.
So, tell me, do you write in Russian and in English, or do you prefer one or the other?
I do both. And it depends. It's actually really interesting because when you speak two languages, your brain functions differently. So, it really depends. Sometimes English is more convenient for expressing my thoughts and emotions, and sometimes Russian, it could be only Russian sometimes.
Well, that's very interesting that your brain works differently depending on which language you're in.
Thank you, yes.
Well, we would like to have you share your poem that was in Lyrical Iowa. If you would do that, does it have a particular form, this poem, or is it free form?
It's a free form, and I actually wanted to share with you the one that was published last year and then this year's poem. And then just not to take so much time, I have one more poem for my friend. So, yeah, if you want me, I can start with the one that was published last year.
Why don't you start with the one that was published last year, and then I'll give this back to Susan, and she can make the decision about how much each of us is going to read.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
So, New Religion. On Sunday morning, I was sitting finishing my hash browns and coffee, and suddenly something became clear to me. There is a place on earth where it doesn't matter if you're a slob or a hobo. Having kids or having Alzheimer's, no one will judge you for your past and your present. You will find this place everywhere. It is waiting for you. Anytime, you'll be safe from disapproving looks. You'll donate a little bit of money to this temple of tolerance every time you come, because love is never for free. It is so sad to admit, but truly, McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Oh, thank you. That's delightful. Susan?
Yes?
So you are actually the... What would I say? the master and commander of this program. So I would like to know whether we can have some more conversation with Anne before she leaves, which will be in 10 minutes, or whether we should move on to something else.
I'm afraid that we should move on. This was not the problem I was expecting, but I think...
Oh, I'm here to tell you, if you get poets together, you don't have any problem getting words out of them. And I certainly hope our radio audience is enjoying this as well. Maybe we should, at this point, tell them maybe there are some incipient poets out there who would be interested in knowing when Third Stanza meets. Would that be a good idea?
I think that is a very good idea.
Okay. Maggie Westfold, would you just give us the particulars?
Sure. I can remind. That is the third Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m., the Ames Public Library. It's almost always on second floor in the Dale H. Ross boardroom. Once in a while we have to go elsewhere, but we're always in the library, and everyone is welcome.
Yes, everyone is invited. Whether you are a member of KHOI or not, you are welcome to come to Third Stanza, but we would encourage you to become a member of KHOI.
Now, I have a question because two of our young poets are with us. Do you have any young poets coming, or have they got too much inspiration in their daily lives?
You know, I don't think we've commonly had. We have some Iowa State students, but children we have not had. But I'm going to say that if they cared to come, we are gentle. So I really think it would be fun to have them. I'd love it.
You know, it would be nice, too, because we do begin early enough in the evening that they could come for the first part of the program and then leave when bedtime arrives.
Yes, many of us come and go as we need to. So.
Well, maybe we should talk to our students right now.
Yes,
then.
I think that would be.
Okay. Alyssa and, excuse me, Chantal and Madeline. That's who's here, right? Okay. All right. Would you grab yourself a microphone there? Just go stand so that you're talking right into one of the microphones. And we'll ask you folks a little bit about this. Okay. Madeline? Okay. Chantal, you're right at that microphone. Can you pull that other microphone out for the other one so they can be talking in that one? And first thing I would like to know is, do you do any writing outside of class?
Not really.
And that was, I believe that was Madeline who answered. You don't really do any outside of class. What about you, Chantal? Do you ever do any writing outside class?
Yeah, when I feel like it, when I have to.
What kind of writing do you do?
I usually write stories.
Yes.
On most of my stories.
Do you save them so that you can look back at them later?
Yes.
Madeline, you're going to need to get a little closer to that microphone, I think. Oh, I bet you this is Alyssa. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Alyssa. Pull that microphone up so that it's right in front of your mouth. There you go. Let me tell the radio audience. We have one, two, three, four microphones, and we have about 10 people in here. So we're switching the microphones back and forth, and they're the kind of microphones that that don't pick up things from everywhere. You need to be talking right into them, so that's why we're giving these directions. Well, Alyssa, you just walked in. The question that I asked the other two girls was, do you do writing outside of class?
Sometimes.
What kind of writing do you do if you...
Normally, like, fictional.
Like making up stories and things like that?
Probably, like, realistic fiction.
Realistic fiction. Okay. Well, had any of you... I understand that this was a class assignment that your teacher gave you. Is that right? And you know, nodding will not do. because our radio audience can't hear the nodding. So you'll have to answer out loud, if you will.
Yeah.
It was an assignment. Do you do a lot of these kinds of writing assignments for Mr. Royer?
I think that was mostly like the – I think that was like one of the only ones that we did, but now I'm in sixth grade, so I don't have him anymore.
Okay. Do you ever do writing in sixth grade classes too?
Yeah.
Well, it was – I think it's marvelous that for a class assignment, so many of you got published in Lyrical Iowa. Let me see. Let me try doing this by addressing each of you individually. Chantal, were you surprised when you heard that your poem was accepted?
Yes, I was.
What's your poem like? What is it about?
It's about snowflakes. We were assigned to do a poem on snowflakes. So
all of them are poems on snowflakes?
Yes.
Okay. And I think I'm almost getting you now. Madeline, you're the one in the middle. Is that right?
Yes.
And was this the first poetry assignment that Mr. Royer gave you?
Yeah.
And did you all have your poems entered in the Lyrical Iowa contest?
I had one of them.
So you wrote several. Is that right?
I think I wrote three.
You wrote three of them. And was it Mr. Royer who decided which poems were going to be sent to the...
I don't think so. I think it was the poem, like, the people. They
decided. Oh, so all of them may have gotten sent, and they are the ones who chose it. I see. Okay. Alyssa, what about you? How many poems did you write for the assignment?
Probably about, like, six or seven.
Six or seven. Okay. Were you, Chantal, I'll ask you this again. Were you asked to do these only in class, or did you do them when you were at home, too?
We worked on them only when we were in class.
Ah. So, Madeline, how long did this assignment happen? Was it just a week, or did you spend a lot of days on it?
I think it was like, probably about a week.
Okay. So you folks turned out a lot of material in just a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think perhaps we should have them read their poems.
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with you. Alyssa, do you have your poem with you?
Yeah.
Or do you maybe know it by heart?
I already know it.
Oh, great. I can't say that I know mine by heart. Would you please tell us, say your poem for us?
My poem is called Time Machine. If I could build a time machine and go back in time, I would go to when planets were born and make a planet all mine.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. Madeline, what about you? Can you tell us your poem?
Yeah. So my poem is called Memories. My memories are the biggest part of me. If you took them away, I would be nothing, sitting alone in the dark, never trying.
Ah, wonderful. You know, both of those poems, and I'm sure Chantal's will be the same, are the kind of thing that you want to consider, you want to think about. And there are just lots of thought there. So, Chantal, will you read us your poem?
My poem is called Snowflake. Snowflake, sparkly, unique, dazzling, twirling, whirling, tucking earth in bed, shimmering diamonds.
Oh, I think these girls have a career ahead of them as writers, don't you, Susan?
a career or a great deal of personal joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that perhaps we should let them go back to their class now. Is that what the arrangement was? And thank you all so much, Alyssa and Chantal and Madeline, for joining us today.
Yeah.
And I really hope you keep writing. You do a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
While they are leaving the room and our engineer is putting back our microphones, I think we should remind you that the reason you are hearing all this wonderful poetry and other things is because this is one of our Pledge Drive weeks. This is part of the fall Pledge Drive, and we are hoping that if you enjoyed those young poets and want to encourage this kind of programming for people in our community, that you will become a member of KHOI. If you're already a member, we would be delighted to have you renew your membership and even increase your membership. There are so many things that go into putting a program on the air. You should sometimes stop in at 410 Douglas and look at all the equipment that's necessary to make these programs available to you. And then perhaps you'll leave us your donation as you're here. Okay, Susan?
Well, it's time for our legal ID. This is KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, and the surrounding area, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa. We just heard the formalities. We just heard from our young poets, all from Edwards School, and all in the class of Mark Royer. And so we're not only very delighted to have heard their charming poems, but we are very happy that in Ames we have the opportunities to have a teacher like Mr. Royer who recognizes how important this can be for his students. And now we need to return to our adult poets, and I'd like to say their names again for those who might have missed them before or tuned in late. Jean Haggard Dow, Deb Lewis, Maggie Westfold, and my co-host, Mary Richards, and Anne
Hudelainen. And Anne had to leave because she had another engagement.
But I'd like to hear more of her poetry. I love the place she's, of faith.
Yes, she's a great person. She really is. Well, we've heard a lot from me, especially, and maybe a little bit more from Maggie, and hardly anything so far from Jean and Deb. So let's concentrate on them to start with, and then we'll move to the other two of us. Jean, when did you first start writing poetry?
Oh, I'm really an educated artist, so I really didn't start until I retired. And then I went over to Iowa City to the writer's workshop.
Ah, wonderful.
You know, I went a couple times over there. Now they have it on the computer. You know, it's free. It's a program on poetry sometimes, but not always. Sometimes other things.
You were telling me that this morning, and I have to find out about that. That sounds wonderful. Well, you said you were an educated artist, and that sort of anticipated a question that I was going to ask you, and that is, you have lots of creative influences, lots of creativity in your life. Would you please tell the radio audience what you do primarily?
What I do?
Yes, you are
nothing.
An artist.
Nothing.
Well, you are an artist.
I don't even write sometimes. I don't even paint sometimes, but once I get started, you know, then I just am at it all the time. Maybe every day, my studio is in my lower level, and so I just go. It's amazing how often. But if I start writing, the words just roll off my head, and
is your painting the same way? Once you start painting, the creativity just flows.
I can't leave it alone. You know, I can't even sleep sometimes.
Well, that sounds to me like a wonderful situation, that you're so creative that you cannot sleep.
Well, yes, that's true. And when I was teaching, I couldn't get something started after school because I might not be able to sleep. I would get so involved in it that I had to work on it. You know, I might as well stay up and work. And so that's how it is with me.
And you were an art teacher, is that correct?
That's correct. I taught at Ames High School for years.
Okay. And when did you retire?
I retired in 95. Okay. And so I've been retired quite a while. But, you know, I don't ever quit, it seems like.
Well, I know you don't quit creating both in word and in visual art,
right,
because
right.
I have seen things that you've done quite recently, yes. Would you like to read us one of
your poems? All right, I'll read you
the
poem that, because I've been trying to write about universal truth, and it's not easy. I can't seem, you know, I don't even know what's a universal truth. So we'll see if you think this is. This is about, called A Slippery Slope. Slipped into an area that was speculation. Negative words, an area not entered in years. A pact made with myself to never go down that path. Live without hatred. After being bullied, harassed, take strength, a clear head, diligence, always vulnerable.
Mm.
And that, and my last sentence is my universal truth, always vulnerable.
So you are saying that we are always vulnerable, or that you want people to be always vulnerable?
I don't know. You know, I think there are universal truths, but I can't say I know what they are or that I could even list them. But just as my life goes along, I've been trying to write whatever is current. I don't want to write the past. I don't want to write the future. I just want to write whatever's happening. So if you said, has this happened? Yes.
But this is a universal truth for you, is the
That's
always
true.
Vulnerable.
It might not be for everybody, you mm-hmm. know, but maybe it is.
Well, when Susan and I talked about this program, we talked about some general questions that we might ask everybody. And we could start with Deb by asking that first one. When did you write your first poem?
I think I wrote my first poem when I was an undergraduate living in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And was your undergraduate degree in botany also?
It was, but I actually started out as an English major.
Ah.
I was thinking I would go into technical writing, but in some of those English classes, it was also writing poetry, fiction, and other forms of writing.
So was the first poetry that you wrote as a result of an assignment, or was it something that you just felt?
I think it probably was an assignment, but once I tried it, I remember writing some poems otherwise that were just not related to my class.
So the assignment was just a matter of priming the pump?
I think that's right, yes.
Okay. Well, maybe I would ask you to read your poem, but we will be coming back and talking more with everybody about these how you become inspired, about how it works, all that sort of thing. So would you read your poem, please?
I will. It is a haiku. Ancient compass plant points toward future. Cradles cocoon on silk thread.
Ah. And I should say that I know that Deb often uses a haiku form, and she writes in that form very effectively. In fact, Deb, why don't you tell the listening audience, I suppose most of them already know, but tell them what the haiku form is.
A haiku is typically made up of 17 syllables. It's a Japanese form of poetry, as you may have heard from Dennis Maulsby, who is our kind of haiku master in Third Stanza and has offered workshops and probably will continue to do so on haiku. But it's typically three lines, 17 syllables, and the last line is reflective of the first two lines in some way or other. So sometimes those first two lines are down, and then the third line takes a right-hand turn or something.
And sometimes it's a total surprise.
Yes, that third line. Often a total surprise.
And so it's generally five syllables, seven syllables, and then five syllables.
That's correct.
I guess that would say classical haiku.
Yes.
There are lots of other forms, I think,
right,
of haiku, but right, that's the classic.
Actually, I do have a little recorded bit from Dennis on haiku, and it's interesting to compare them. I don't know that it will be necessary to play that later, since you've
Well, shall we do that now? Do you want to do that now?
If that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you think that'll... I don't want to...
I'm watching the clock.
The people who are here live.
I'm watching the clock.
Thank you.
This is a haiku, and the Lyrical Iowa requires that it be the traditional American haiku. And that is described as follows. It's three lines. The first line has to be five syllables. Second line, seven syllables. And the third line is five syllables. So it's 5-7-5, three lines. And, of course, this is a variation off the Japanese poem, also called a haiku. The haiku also, if it's traditional, must—and somewhere in the poem, you must get a feeling for what season it is. And, of course, the traditional haiku is normally describes the relationship of humans to nature. So they require those items in order to qualify for the contest.
Now, just briefly about the other kinds of haiku, there are— A lot of different.
Yes, there's been. But the haiku is a very popular form of poetry, been around for well over 1,000 years, and its predecessor for another 400 years before that. And many of those haiku from those years and years ago, the centuries ago, have survived because the Japanese imperial court had a contest every year, and they recorded those. So there's books, I think there's one or two books from those years that you can get here at the Ames Library.
Oh. So you can see some of these
traditional ones. It's gotten to be very popular, and you'll find haiku groups all over the world. Haiku magazines all over the world. So if you care to go to Google and put in haiku, you're going to be really amazed at how many different countries have haiku groups and like haiku. The source haiku has evolved. Like I said, the original haiku was supposed to be human nature, human interacting with nature. They've got out of that came a version of it called a senryu. And the senryu is a lot more gritty, and it's more humorous, and it actually is more about human foibles. So they can be really
– okay.
It can be nasty or it can be funny.
Uh-huh. Now, people, yeah. I think, have the idea perhaps, if they haven't written many of these themselves, that this is an easy form to write because it's short perhaps.
Oh, my. You have – of course, you have a limited number of syllables, a limited number of lines. There's no title. You cannot have a title. So you can't give a little hint of what's going to come, you know, through the title. The first two lines are supposed to kind of take you in and give you a place, feeling of place, a location. And the last line is supposed to be kind of an aha or a little surprise, an aha moment or a little surprise. And whether it's a senryu or a haiku or some other variations, there's more variations now. There's even some haiku magazines that will not accept 5-7-5, traditional American haiku. And some haikus are maybe one or two lines now, mm-hmm. but they have to have the same kind of bringing you into the poem and then giving you a little surprise or
so
a
shock. So it's not so easy to do well.
Not so easy.
But the only kind of haiku that the Lyrical Iowa will accept is the traditional American
traditional
haiku.
Traditional American haiku.
5-7-5.
Yeah, any contest you might want to submit your haiku to, or there's haiku journals, you need to read their submission guidelines really carefully because in some they do not want the American traditional American haiku, others they do. So,
okay, so let's hear your untitled.
Okay, this is a first place haiku. Crows wing roll through smoke across a field of parched grass. Red-hoofed fire gallops.
And that's Dennis's haiku and a little bit about a little expansion on what you were talking about. Now, we have Maggie Westfold, who has not been heard from yet. And so now I'll bounce this back to you, Mary.
Okay. Maggie, how often do you write? Do you write regularly? That is, do you sit down and – I mean, some people will sit down and write first thing in the morning or last thing before they go to bed at night. And some people, there will be weeks in between times that they write. What's your schedule?
That's me. I'd love to say that every morning. I write early morning mostly. And I'd love to say every day, but it it doesn't happen, and I've been through a couple spells where, like recently, I haven't been writing a lot. And something about 2 weeks ago spawned a poem, and I felt so good about that because of not writing. I don't like when I'm not writing. So,
have you ever done, speaking of writing every day, have you ever done the challenge? I think it's in April, mm-hmm. Poetry Month, the mm-hmm. challenge of writing a poem every day for a whole month. Have you ever done that?
I have. I've done that for 4 years in a row. And I hope to say this time next year I did it again. It's wonderful. April Writer's Digest online is one who – that's the one I do. They give you a prompt every day. You attempt to put something out. I've been known to cheat, pull out an old poem that fits. But it's a fun thing to do. Our member who had to go and move to Wisconsin, Linda Voigt, got me hooked on that. The first year I was ready to strangle her because it is addictive and it's troublesome. You got to put something out for 30 days in a row. But I love that and I recommend it.
Okay, so could we hear the poem that was accepted in Lyrical Iowa?
I wish you could, but I didn't bring it. I can tell you the title of it, and I can tell you I was so pleased that it was chosen. I submitted five. I write a lot of sad poetry. I grieve. I put my grieving down on paper. I write a lot of sadder poetry. This is a lighthearted one, and you can almost guess what it says because the title is For Women Who Cry the Big Ugly. And that's a spinoff from a comment I heard Oprah Winfrey make one time, why she said she is not allowed to really cry on stage because it's not pretty. I'm kind of like that. I don't like to really cry because I don't just have a beautiful tear run down my cheek. That's not the way it happens. So I envy those people, and that's what that poem's about. I envy beautiful women who just have one tear coming down their cheek.
Right.
I brought you one that was published a few years ago that is dear to my heart, and I'll read that one for you if that's
all right.
Please
do.
This was following the death of a wonderful friend, died in 2001, Tomalu Moss. She lived in Ames for many years, and I worked with her. About 2 months after her death, I went to Cedar Falls to visit her husband and just sit and visit and talk about Tomalu. And I wrote this in the days after I got home. It's called Singing Tomalu. Beyond the window, a low rock cluster, a pie pan perched for rainwater, for twittering chickadees to sip. From her portrait in red on the wall, eyes like dark diamonds shone as if she would soon speak. He shared 34 years of shoebox photos, her poems in praise of his passion for roses, for bass. Seven love letters scripted on soft pink linen she'd tucked in the folds of the navy dress he most loved to see her in. He sang her name for hours, let the sound of her roll cross his lips. Tomalu, Tomalu, Tomalu. Lifted strands from her necklace tree, lapis, pearls, and malachite, his gifts for his precious gem. He listened to my sadness and my joy. Let a sister friend lament in harmony with the one who knew her best and loved her most.
Mm.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. And it's a very unusual way of framing that. When you put it in, you know, from the husband's point of view rather than yours. I think that's just beautiful.
When I left, he said, thank you for letting me sing about my Tomalu for the whole afternoon. And it was easy to write. That was our afternoon.
That was your conversation.
What I said is the way we spent our time. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Jean, I think I'll go back to you because we It was a while ago. Before
I do have another poem.
Tell me, do you remember what your first poem ever was? First poem ever wrote?
I don't remember exactly which one it was, but when I went over to Iowa City that year, I had been writing farm poems because I grew up on the farm, and the instructor, and I have no idea now who that was, but here. A group of 20 people, and he hands out my poem to every one of these people. And he spent 2 hours talking about that poem. And it had a place. It had everything he was looking for. Well, so that sent me on my way with writing farm poems. And so I just wrote poems and wrote poems about the farm.
That was really great. What is it I want to say? Inspiration isn't what I mean, but it's kind of like that, you know.
Well,
is really recognizing the worth of what you have written. There's a word for that. I just can't think of it right now.
Well, anyway, I was in shock. As I sat there, I didn't even know, you know, you had to send over 5 poems before the class ever started. And so that was.
Okay, well, let me go back a little bit before that class. You said you'd always written farm poems. So how old were you when you wrote your first one? Can you remember?
Oh, I don't think I wrote poetry before I retired. I think I was busy doing art. And okay. I would paint and scribble, and draw. Mm-hmm. But
so really, the poetry for you has been a later in life acquisition.
Yes. Before, well, I don't know. You know, should I tell? Shall I quit?
Well, we have 3 minutes. How long is your poem?
Oh, but you know, when I was in third grade, here are these kids in third grade. And I was supposed to get up on the stage and recite this Walt Whitman, the first couple stanzas. And I looked out at the audience, and my mother's sitting there, and I started to cry and jumped off the stage. That was my poetry
that's funny.
Experience.
So we do not have until 1 o'clock, is that correct?
No, we do not have until, it's,
okay.
Yes.
55.
Do you want to hear it, though? This is last year's.
Okay.
All right. It's called Community Service. One doesn't believe in community service. Her mother never told her to. No pay there. Another stands with arms folded, does not bend a hand, no sharing of talents. No pay there. Pleasure in doing for others, picking up trash, sitting with the ill, feeding the homeless. No pay needed. A believer in the community, safety and differences, equality. No pay needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good one to end on.
It is. Yes. It is indeed.
Well, thank you all very much for being here. And you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen and Mary Richards. And we started the show with recorded comments from Dennis Mousby, and then had a live discussion with Jean Haggard Dow, Deb Lewis, and
it's Ann Hunalainen.
And Maggie Westfold. And we had, early in the show, we were joined by 3 students from Edwards School, 2 third graders, Chantal Orenstein and Alyssa Grau, and 6th grader Madeline Wade. And today's local talk will be available on Facebook. This is a little different since we've got live shows this week. Since we're in membership week, we should mention that it makes a difference if you hear a program on Facebook and like us on Facebook and get updates on all our show postings in your news feed. But that will be... actually, I realized when I went on Facebook, there's one producer that I won't mention, but she had like 43 likes. And so you could have your friends all like this show.
That sounds good, don't you think?
Local Talk was engineered by Evan Taylor. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music, as you heard, we didn't have time for other music.
Poetry is music to your ears, though, right?
That's right, it is. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again
on the radio.